in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. To the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Governor among the nations. The Bible says His kingdom ruleth over all. His kingdom ruleth over all. He is the Governor among the nations. Go ahead and just adore Him, bless Him, express your love towards Him. Kidabo shalamande ki frahado lefelemente. Acknowledge His presence. Adore Him, worship Him in the beauty of His holiness, celebrate Him in the firmament of His power. Obo la bakasidi brande ke pora balagadi, mali baronde se fretele kebosha. Ikrando boko so praga balagade kebragade ke. Mande bosha, thank you, Father. Lord, the eyes of our understanding is enlightened. Our hearts and mind are open. Oh yes, we receive a hearing ear and a seeing eye, a perceiving heart, a wise and understanding heart. Speak to us through your word. Transform us, transport us, engrace us. Equip us, empower us to occupy till you come, to be effective kingdom ambassadors, to be effective in our service delivery, in our kingdom service assignment. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, oh you people. Come on, shout to the Lord. With a voice of triumph, can you come and rejoice? Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. Glory to God. I welcome you in God's presence. Occupy till I come, part 3. Hallelujah. How many of you are enjoying this series? Wow. Glory to God. It's been so powerful. Now, if this is your first time coming today, I will counsel and advise you to endeavor to get the part 1 and the part 2 of this apostolic teaching series. You can get it from our Telegram channel. All you need to do is to install the Telegram application on your smartphones. If in case you've not done that, then you search for the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International and then join our Telegram channel. You will have access to all our messages. You know, from there you can listen to Occupy Till I Come, part 1, part 2, and many other powerful messages that are there. Hallelujah. Because this is a build-up, okay? I won't talk much about the part 1 and 2. I'll focus on today's part 3. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, every time we come like this for service, The service time is not another religious session. Let me tell you about service time. It's not another religious session. No. We are not just coming to fulfill religious obligation. No. It's not another boring religious session. No. That's not the purpose of church service. Church service is a kingdom equipping session. It is a training session. Am I communicating? You need to understand that the church is a training ground where kingdom ambassadors are being trained, believers are trained. The job, the responsibility, the assignment of the fivefold ministry gift to the church, Ephesians 4:11. He said he gave to some apostles, to some prophets, to some teachers, to some evangelists, pastors. For what purpose? To what end? He said what? For what? The equipping of the saints. Am I communicating? My job, just like any other fivefold ministry gift to the body. I say Ephesians 4:11. He gave to some, watch this, the fivefold ministry gift, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, teacher. Look at our job description, verse 12. Why did Jesus give this fivefold ministry gift to his body? He said, for the perfecting of the saint. Am I communicating? For the perfecting of the saint. For the work of the ministry. In fact, a translation put it better. It says, for perfecting the saint so that they will do the work of the ministry. Am I communicating? So when we say the work of the ministry, it's not pastors, apostles, prophet, teachers that will do it. It's the saints that have been perfected. Am I communicating? Because every believer has received a ministry in Christ. And there is a grace you have received to fulfill your ministry in the marketplace of the world. Am I communicating? I told you there are two broad categories of our callings in Christ. Number one is the pulpit ministry calling. That's the one that the fivefold are called into, including me. Then the remaining larger fraction of the body of Christ, their calling is in the marketplace. That is where they will fulfill it. But watch this. The effectiveness of the believers called to the marketplace, the effectiveness of their ministry there depends on the quality of the training they receive from the fivefold. Are you getting me? So every Sunday when you are going to church, banish it from your mind that it's another religious session. It's a training session. It's an equipping session. Am I communicating? Our job is to train you, is to equip you, is to empower you, fire you. You now enter the marketplace of the world. You take it over. Am I communicating? The ethnos, the cosmos. Why are believers not effective in service delivery? Why are they not productive in fulfilling their ministry in the marketplace? Is because many of them are either untrained, or they are not well trained, or they have refused to apply the things they were taught. Am I communicating? The church is a place of teaching, a place of training, a place of discipleship, a place of equipping, a place where you are educated concerning your calling, your assignment, the things of the kingdom. You are educated. You are enlightened. You are equipped. You are empowered. Then we deploy you. It's a training ground. Just tap your neighbor. So welcome to another equipping session. Welcome to another training session. You see, just the same way, you know, we are soldiers for Christ. Where do they train soldiers? Depot in Zaria. We have Depot Nigerian Army in Zaria. Then there is NDA for officers. Now, did you notice that after the period of training, they will now deploy them to their place of assignment? It's a similar thing. The church is like that depot. The church is like the NDA. You are take your training seriously. Let me tell you, neighbor, take your training seriously. That's why you shouldn't come to church without notes. Do you go for lectures without notes? Don't just write like secretary and dump it somewhere. No. Review your note. Go through it from time to time and practice those things. Apply them. Because you will need it for your assignment. Are you getting this? You see, when I understood this thing, my mindset about going for church service changed. You know, when I was young, I grew up in the barrack. My dad was a military man. My dad used to flog us if we don't go to church. How dare you miss church service? And then I used to hate church. I didn't like going to church because I didn't have this understanding, the purpose of church service. Why should I go to church every Sunday? I didn't know the purpose. Then midweek service, Wednesday. It didn't make sense. So I know that if I miss service, I'm in trouble. You know, my dad is a military man. Military people, they don't take nonsense. You chop koboko. You may even miss one of your meals, self, that day. So I then devise a strategy. I say, okay, I will wait 30 minutes to the end of service. Then I'll go to... So that was what I started doing. Then I will sit then in our church in the barrack. I will even see some of the military people reading magazine. Pastor is preaching, they are reading. He said, have you seen what is in Daily Times? He said, now, wow, this government, they are chopping money. You know, newspaper, magazine, inside church. You see, people don't understand. See, if you understand the purpose of church service, your mindset will change. This is a training ground. It's an equipping center. Kingdom equipping and empowerment, so that you will carry that wisdom, you will carry the fire, you will carry the grace, you will carry those things that you have received. You now go into the marketplace of the world and take it over for Jesus. Am I communicating? That's why he said you are the light of the world. He didn't say you are the light of the church. Why? Because you don't need light where there are many lights. The relevance of light is in darkness. Darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. His glory shall be seen upon you. The church is a gathering of believers, and believers are lights. Jesus said you are the light of the world. You don't appreciate light when there is light, other light. You have to go into the world. The world is in darkness. Your world is in darkness. So you shine the light. No wonder Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father in heaven. You bring God glory when you shine that light to bring solution, to solve problem to the people of the world. Am I communicating? You are a soldier in training. This place is like depot. I am like your drill sergeant. Is it drill sergeant? They call them. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are trainers. Understand that the fivefold ministry gift to the body are the trainers of believers. They are the trainers. They are the equippers. He gave to some, go back to that Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. It says, for the perfecting of the saint. Okay? For equipping the saint. So that the saint, after they have been equipped, they can now do the work of the ministry. Where will they do it? In the marketplace of the world. You see, the world is our mission field. Am I communicating? And Jesus has already bought the whole field by his sacrifice on the cross. He didn't just redeem the souls of men. He also bought the world. Are you getting me? Redemption doesn't just cover for the souls of men on earth, too. Or humanity, it bought the whole world. Jesus has bought the whole field, and the inhabitant thereof is now sending us as missionaries. He says, as the Father have sent me, even so send I you. It's an apostolic church. Are you getting me? It's an apostolic mission. Glory to God. Some have been dispatched to the medical world, that is their mission field. Some to the media world, that is their mission field. Some of you in the fashion industry, some of you in the sport world. Are you getting me? Some of you in the business world, some of you, the realm of politics and governance. That's your mission field. That's the jurisdiction of your assignment. That is where you will do the work of the ministry. You will advance the kingdom there. You will establish the kingdom of God. You will establish it in two places. Number one, over the hearts of men. Get them born again. Number two, you will establish it in every strata of society, then across territories, cities, communities, nations. Am I communicating? This is very important. How do you advance and establish the kingdom? It's through the preaching, teaching, and demonstration of the gospel of Christ. You preach the gospel. Preaching is proclamation. Okay? Proclamation is for inspiration. Teaching is explanation. You expound. It's for discipleship. Okay? And then demonstrating the gospel is a very important part, aspect too, because the Bible says the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in what? In power. So you equip the people. Glory to God. We have so many believers that are just working their job, collecting salary, but they are not doing the work of the ministry in that marketplace where God has planted them. You see the problem? They are working and earning salary. They are doing their business, earning money. But they forgot that the business is a platform for you to advance and establish God's kingdom. It's your God-given platform. Am I communicating? That job is your God-given platform. Listen, there's what we call primary purpose. Then there is secondary purpose. The primary purpose why you are doing that job is not just to earn salary and all of that. Mm-mm. The primary purpose is to use it as a platform to advance and establish God's kingdom by preaching, teaching, and demonstrating the gospel. Earning salary and other things are secondary. As a student, your primary purpose while you are in school is not to earn a degree and then get a job later. Mm-mm. That's not, I know, now this is not to say you should be lazy and take your academics for granted. Mm-mm. Be the best. But you need to understand God's higher calling. There's what we call higher calling. We have a higher calling. The primary purpose you are in uni, Jaws or Pla Poly or University of Harvard, Harvard University, Harvard Business School, name it. The primary purpose you are in that school is so that you can advance and establish God's kingdom there. That's it. Your studies and earning degree is secondary. In fact, your schooling is not an end in itself, it's a means to an end. Your job, your career, your profession is not an end in itself, it's a means to an end. What is that end? Kingdom advancement and establishment. That's why Jesus said, occupy till I come. You occupy your sphere of influence. You occupy your sphere of contact. You occupy your cosmos. You occupy your ethnos and take it over for Jesus. He said, when he said, go ye into all the world, out of that world is your own world. Everybody has his own world. Your world is made up of all your area of influence, your sphere of influence, your sphere of contact, all the people you are in contact with, all the people you have influence over, they make up your world. You have to take the gospel to them. You preach, you teach, you demonstrate. Am I communicating? This is how we advance the kingdom. Every time a soul is won, you have enlarged the kingdom of God. We enlarge the kingdom by soul winning. Am I communicating? This basic understanding must be deeply ingrained in believers. Every time you come to church, it's another perfecting session. It's another training session. It's another session of what? Equipping. So take your training seriously. You know, you will know the effectiveness of, or let me put it this way, you will know the quality of training a soldier have received by his performance when he's deployed to his place of assignment. True of us, you will know. Whether he was well trained or not, you will know. Whether he really paid attention to the things he was taught, you will know. By the time he is now discharging his military duties in his place of assignment, that is when you know the quality of the training. It is seen in his results. It is seen in the effectiveness of his service. It's a similar principle. You know, it pains my heart when I see a lot of believers that are not taking up kingdom responsibilities in their sphere of influence. It pains my heart. And then one thing comes to my mind. Oh, this person was not well trained. Do they go to church? Yes. But are they being well trained? Is another issue. Because if you are well trained, you will be effective as an ambassador of Christ. Even if you are working in the bank, you will know that my primary purpose working in this bank is not just to earn armed robber salary. It's a phrase. It means big salary. Okay, you understand? Not just to wear tie and suit. You know. That's now. Listen, that one is secondary. You will understand as a believer that the primary purpose I'm working here is what? Help me. Kingdom advancement and establishment. I'm a missionary. Let me tell your neighbor, you are a missionary. And this world is our mission field. Your sphere of influence is your mission field. Yes. It's a missionary church. Every believer is a missionary, not just the one in the village. Because the world is a mission field today. Praise God. We are here on a mission. It's a kingdom takeover assignment. It's a kingdom takeover campaign. Glory to God. I say glory to God. He gave to some apostles. Is it for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, building up? You know, you are being built up. You understand? The teaching and the training you are receiving is maturing you. Am I communicating? Helping you to gain stature, helping you to gain stamina, helping you to develop the character of Christ until you are conformed to the full image of his son. You know, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Okay? And when we say the unity of the faith, it's not the same as uniformity of church denomination. All of us will not be cocking. All of us will not be equal. All of us will not be living faith. All of us will not be redeemed. The unity of the faith does not mean all of us will be the same denomination. Am I communicating? Unity is not uniformity. Till Jesus come, we will have different denominations, but we must be united in love, regardless doctrinal differences, regardless of our denominational differences. We must be united in love, and with one heart and one mind, we put all hands on the deck to carry out the kingdom assignment. Am I communicating? All these infighting should stop. All this strife, all those drama. We won't be effective in our assignment if we keep fighting each other. Am I communicating? It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that's mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. Are you ready for today's equipping session? Luke 19:11. And as they heard these things, he added Jesus and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. We said most of Jesus's parable had to do with the kingdom. Okay, most of his parable is verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman. And we said that nobleman represents Jesus. A nobleman is a royal of high officer, high ranking officer. And Jesus is that nobleman. He's our grand commanding officer in the army of the Lord. We are soldiers for Christ. We have a commanding officer. His name is what? Jesus. Okay? He went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them £10 and said unto them, occupy till I come. So he gave us a responsibility. Let's not just stop at the realm of knowing our rights, kingdom rights, knowing our rights in Christ and our privileges in Christ. It's good. Please, by all means, that's why we teach. You need to know your rights in Christ. You need to know your privileges in Christ, okay? Healing belongs to you. Prosperity belongs to you. Divine health belongs to you. Success is yours. Greatness is yours. You need to know your rights in Christ. But don't stop at that. Don't stop there. Let me tell you, but don't stop there. Because there is also your kingdom responsibility. So in every kingdom, we have rights on one end, then we have responsibilities on the other end. Many citizens of God's kingdom are only aware of their rights in Christ. In fact, worse, some are not even aware of their rights in Christ. Okay? But it is the will of God that you know not just your rights in Christ, but you need to also know your responsibilities, because the purpose of right is responsibility. Am I communicating? And we've been given a very important responsibility. Jesus said we should occupy. Occupy what? Occupy the earth realm. Occupy the cosmos. Occupy your ethnos, your sphere of contact, your sphere of influence. Occupy your workplace. Occupy your school. Occupy your city. Occupy your nation. Occupy your country. Occupy your family. Occupy your community. Am I communicating? Dominate it for Jesus. Rule and reign over your world. Long before Glue said it, Jesus, God said it himself in Genesis 1, verse 26 and 28. Long before Globacom said, rule your world, God himself told us to rule our world. You don't know? When he says, let them have dominion. I think, there's a translation, either the Living Bible or New Living Translation, one of them. He uses the word, rule your world. That word, dominate. It means to rule your world. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, rule your world for King Jesus. Occupy it till I come. So, you must make God and His kingdom agenda your number one passion, priority, and pursuit in this life. You must make God and His kingdom agenda your topmost passion, your topmost priority, your topmost pursuit in life. Pursue God's kingdom agenda even more than the way you pursue money. Pursue it more than you pursue everything else. Prioritize it. Matthew 6:33. What did Jesus said? He says, seek first. Matthew 6:33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. Which things? Go back to verse 32. So that you understand what he's talking about. Go back again. Let me get it in context. He said, therefore, take no thought. As in, don't worry. Okay? Don't worry. He said, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? These are basic necessities, right? Man has three basic needs. We were taught in social study. What are those three basic needs of man? Food. Okay, latest iPhone 15 is not a need. It's under want. There's a difference between need and want. Okay, need is something that you cannot do without. Want is plus or minus. You can do without it. Were we not surviving before phone was made? Some people, once their phone is missing or their phone got spoiled, they mourn as if somebody died. I'm telling you, some especially some ladies, some people sit down and be crying. Praise God. He said, therefore, take no thought, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? 32, watch this. He said, for after these things do the Gentiles seek. The unsaved non-Jewish world is the Gentiles. He said, after these things, the people of the world, the whole rat race of life, the whole rat race of life is after these things. He said, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. You listen, God is not an irresponsible Father. He said, your heavenly Father, that talks of a relationship. That talks of a relationship. Your heavenly Father is not irresponsible. He knows you have need of these things. But however, watch this. However, watch the protocol of the kingdom. Watch how God wants you to prioritize your life. He said, verse 33, but seek ye first. Seek ye first what? The kingdom. You see, so God is teaching about priority here. Many people keep making this mistake. They are prioritizing their personal needs first instead of prioritizing kingdom first. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows that you need food, you need clothing, you need those things, but he doesn't want you to prioritize it as number one on your scale of preference. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and when you do that, all these things shall be what? Added to you. Tell your neighbor, become kingdom minded. Become kingdom conscious. Even more than you are conscious of your needs. Don't be needs conscious. Don't be needs driven. Be kingdom conscious and be kingdom driven. Grow beyond needs. Start thinking kingdom. Are you getting me? I keep telling myself every time, I have grown beyond needs. I am for kingdom impact. Put kingdom first. When you focus on that, your heavenly Father will take care of your needs automatically. Are you getting the point? But the problem, many are pursuing those things like the people of the world. And yet they are still not getting, you know. The funny thing about money is that the more you chase it, the more it will run away from you. Haven't you seen people like that? For the past 20 years, they've been pursuing money, but they've still not gotten the money. Glory to God. He says, seek first the kingdom. Now, give me this in is it New Living Translation? There's one translation that puts it beautifully. It says, seek it above everything else. Okay? It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Tell your neighbor, above all else. Yes, prioritize God and his kingdom business above all else. Above all else. Above all else. Live righteously. He will give you everything you need. Kai, I like this. I love this. Luke 2:49. Jesus said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? That was how Jesus lived his life when he was on earth. He prioritized God's kingdom business above all else. His parents were looking for him. After how many days, they finally found him in the temple. They had come for Jerusalem for dedication, and they thought Jesus was in their company, only for them to return back home and Jesus was not with them. And when they finally came back with all the stress, all the day, look how Jesus was responding. He said, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Are you about your Father's business? Are you busy with your Father's business?" He said, "We should occupy till he comes." Are you listening? Every believer is an ambassador of Christ on a kingdom advancement and establishment mission here on earth. 2 Corinthians 5:20. He said, "We are ambassadors of Christ." We are ambassadors of Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You see, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling sinners back to God. Okay? We've been given an assignment, a mandate. The church has been sent by the Lord himself on a missionary assignment, on an apostolic mission on earth. What is that missionary and apostolic mission? To occupy, to colonize the cosmos with the life, culture, and civilization of our heavenly kingdom. Am I communicating? The moment somebody gets born again, he receives the life of God, okay? And he becomes a bona fide citizen of God's kingdom. And we have to now train them in the kingdom life. We have to indoctrinate them with our kingdom ideology, philosophy, value system. Am I communicating? We need to teach them the culture of our kingdom. You know, the thief people, the thief ethnic group, they have their culture, right? The thief culture. And that culture is reflected in their behavior, in their manner of life, right? Including how they farm. Including how they even make ridges. The culture of the thief people influences everything they do. It's a similar principle. The kingdom we belong, we have our own kingdom culture. There is a way we do things. We don't do things like the people of the world. That's why he said, don't be conformed to this world's culture. Don't be conformed to the customs and tradition of this world. Don't do things the way the people of the world are doing it. Are you getting me? He says, seek first the kingdom. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to renew your mind and acquire the mindset of the kingdom, the mindset, the way of life. Am I communicating? You need to be cultured in our kingdom way and manner of living. There is a way we do things. For instance, it is normal for the people of the world, for a guy and a lady that are dating each other, it is normal for them to be living together, cohabitation. You will see the lady will come and be staying with the guy in his house, his girlfriend, you know, and it's normal for the people of the world. Say, after all, we are going to get married. Now, that's the world way of living. In our kingdom, we don't do that. You see, there's even sleeping together, self, fornicating and all of that. It's normal for them. They don't see anything wrong with it. But in our kingdom, no be so. Let me tell you, no, but no be so. We they do things. It is not part of our kingdom culture. No, we don't do cohabitation. And we don't do fornication in our kingdom. Even if marriage is tomorrow, it's still not a license to sleep with each other today. You only practice sex in our kingdom, after you have been licensed to practice through marriage, when you say yes I do, then you can do the do. It is a sin for you to do the do before you receive the license. Just like it is a criminal offense for me to practice medicine before I was given my medical license. Am I communicating? He said marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled. Whoremongers and adulterers, he said God will judge. Am I communicating? The world have their way. You see the ladies dressed half naked, show front, show back. You see them on TikTok, you see them on Instagram, posting, looking for husbands. Say they are advertising goods and services. The truth is that, listen, the people of the world do those things. You can never get a responsible man that way. You will only attract buzuru and buzuru men. Yes, you know buzuru men. The kind of men that lusted after you, just they will come just to have sex and that's all. They will eat, they will clean out. Even them, they will not even want to marry that kind of lady. Eh? Am I communicating? In our kingdom, we don't do that. We have our way of dressing. You don't expose things that were meant to be sacred. Am I communicating? No. Unfortunately, the world has influenced many Christians. The influence is so strong. Media, here, there, Western world. In fact, a research shows that anything that starts from the Western world, just give it like 15 to 20 years, it will spread to Africa and all the rest of the world. That's how strong Western influence is. Is it their way of dressing? Is it whatever ideology, mindset, anything you see in the Western world, just give it 15, 20 years, it will be established in other parts of the world. That's why the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into their mold. Don't buy into their way of thinking. Allow the word of God to brainwash you. Be yet transformed. How? By the renewing. I like to use brainwashing of your mind by the word of God. The word of God is a soap and water. Allow it to brainwash you. That's why you should expose yourself to the correct teaching of God's word. Praise God. Today, you see, Christians who in competition with the people of the world for baddest dressing. Baddest dressing. In fact, there are some weddings that the pastor, officiating pastor, had to even cancel the wedding because of the bridal train and even the bride. The wedding gown that the bride is wearing is showing her breast. Everything is out. Then the bridal train, boom, skirt will reach here, oh. The thing will reach here, but oh, tear the thing, yeah. Another one, what do they call it? Party or what? And then you see that dancing, in the, officiating minister say, Mogbe, push all of them out, this wedding castle. In our kingdom, not be so. That's not how we dress. We have our own kingdom culture. We don't do things like that. We dress decent. You see, when it comes to dressing, the key word is decency and what? Moderation. Decency and what? Moderation. The truth is that as a believer, if you are truly born again, because there are some Christians that need to be born again. If you are truly born again, there are some clothes you will wear that if you see yourself in the mirror, even your heart will prick you that, Abba, this one is too exposed now. Even the Holy Spirit will talk to you.
to change it. See, people wear their clothes that exposes all their contour shape. You know, there are some wicked kind of clothes that will bring out the shape. You understand? All the contour, the thing will just God punish devil. You are now passing. You are now spreading spirit of lust. Everybody is lusting after you. And then in your mind you say, oh, I hurt. I hot baby. Hot baby. You call yourself a Christian. Do you know what has happened to you? You have been influenced by the people of the world. All those movies you are watching, all those TV shows, all those, you know, it's very funny. Do you know there are Christians that their mentors in the area of dressing is all these worldly celebrities? So the way the worldly celebrity is dressing is now the way you are dressing. You have been mentored wrongly. You have left all the godly mentors in Christ. You have refused to follow them. Is all this Rihanna, Beyonce, Tiwa Savage? They are your mentors. Yeah, I like the way she dress. I like the way she shake her waist. Okay. You be mumu. You need to renew your mind. Am I communicating? Get mentors from the kingdom now. Ah. See us. See the way my wife they dress. Praise God. Get mentors. See our mothers here. See the way they dress. You no one here. Don't be a goat. Praise God. Because of you, some brethren in church cannot even concentrate on message. They can't even concentrate again. Their eyes now have to look straight, no bend, because when they turn like, I must not sin against the Lord. My eye must not see what I'm not supposed to see. Because of you. And it's not only the ladies, even the brothers. Even the brothers. Praise God. Need to improve. Hi, wait to carry me enter here now. Jesus. So we need to take over our ethnos. Okay? For our Lord and King Jesus. Now, understand this. Though we own this world, but this world is not our home. In 1 Corinthians 3, 21 to 23, Apostle Paul says, all things are yours. Whether the world, he included the world, the cosmos. We own the world because Jesus bought it. Okay? And we are in Christ. It's part of our inheritance in Christ. We own the world, but this world is not our home. Our homeland is where? Heaven. We are only here on assignment, okay? Our mission field is this world. It's our place of assignment. Don't become so needs conscious on earth that you forget your primary kingdom assignment, okay? Don't get too need conscious. Don't be needs driven, be kingdom driven. Don't be need conscious, be kingdom conscious. Don't be need minded, be kingdom minded. Now, listen to this. The end time church is a reigning church. The end time church is a ruling church. Psalm 110, it says, rule thou. From verse 1, it said, the Lord said to my Lord, Psalm 110 from verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. The right hand of God is a place of supreme power, the place of ultimate power, supreme authority, the place of highest favor. Sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Verse 2. He said, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Hallelujah. That's talking about the church. We are the rod of his strength. Amen. He has given us his authority. He has delegated this to the church. We are the rod of his strength out of Zion. And then we will now use that rod of power to what? Rule down. The Hebrew word rule there is radah. It's the same word when God said, let them have dominion. So, that word rule also means dominate thou. Am I communicating? Dominate, rule, reign. In the midst, not in the absence of your enemies. Why? Why? Normally, somebody should be afraid in the midst of their enemies. You say, but why did he say rule thou in their midst? Because we have been given the highest authority. We have been given the highest power. So, the power of the enemy, am I communicating, cannot threaten us because we have a superior power. Are you getting me? He said, let every power be subject to a higher power. He said, behold, I give unto you power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. And serpents and scorpions represent demons. And over all the power of the enemy. And then he said what? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why should you be afraid when you have the highest power and authority? Glory to God. Rule thou in the midst of the enemies. Dominate your world. Rule your world. Dominate it for Jesus. Hallelujah. You've been licensed to dominate your world. You've been licensed to rule your world. Use your God-given authority in Christ. Use the power of the kingdom. Am I communicating? He has bequeathed to us his power. All of God's power. Are you getting me? Has been given to us in Christ. I said something in one of our message back. Did you notice that the last thing Jesus promised his followers before he ascended into heaven, what was his last promise? What was his last promise? It will surprise you, it's not even heaven. His last promise is, ye shall receive power. To carry out the kingdom assignment, empowerment. Because the date of rapture and even the second coming of Christ is indirectly dependent on the seriousness with which you take the kingdom assignment. Are you getting the point? He gave us an assignment. He said, ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Am I communicating? He gave us an assignment. Then Matthew 24:14, he says, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached. You see that? He's talking of the kingdom assignment. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. He didn't say all of them will believe. He didn't say all of them will be saved. He said, but it will be preached for to them for a witness. Because that same gospel will testify against the unbelievers that heard it but rejected it at the great white throne judgment. Shall be preached for a witness unto all ethnos, nations, and then shall the end come. Can you see this? So don't be an irresponsible, lazy Christian that is just sitting down, looking into the sky, waiting when Jesus will come. Get up! Go about kingdom business. Carry out the assignment he has given us. Because the way you treat that assignment, the seriousness with which you do it, is what will determine the second coming. Are you seeing this? We will not know. He said we won't know the particular day or time for the rapture. But we will be aware of the season. The times and the season we will know. But the particular, whether rapture will take place 12 p.m. or 6 p.m. or 3 p.m., 9 p.m. He said no one will know. Am I communicating? But we will know that we are in the season. That this thing can happen now. But he's now telling us that The seriousness with which you take that assignment determines when the rapture and the second coming will take place. Are you seeing this? It's not like me telling you that. Let's imagine I have a... okay, let me not use you. I have servants in my house. I'm a king. I have so many servants working for me in my house. And now... told this person, you mow the grass, as in mow the grass, okay? You wash the plate, you cook jollof rice and pounded yam, you mop the floor. And then I now told them that when you carry out this assignment I gave you, then I will come. Are you getting it? So question, when will I come? So who will indirectly set the date for my coming? If you choose to do that mopping in 3 hours, I will come. If you choose to do it in 3 days, I will come after 3 days. If it took you 3 months, I will come after. So, the church on earth, this kingdom advancement and establishment assignment is what is indirectly setting the date for the rapture of the church. Because the Bible says we know the long suffering of God. That he is not willing that any should perish. God is being patient because he wants as many people to be saved as possible. 2 Peter 3 verse, is it verse 9? Give me 2 Peter 3 9. Let me show you something there. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He says, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards what? Not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance. So Jesus is buying time. He wants as much people to be saved as possible. But who will carry out that assignment is the church. He has given us that ministry of reconciling the world back to himself. Praise God. That was why I made that statement, that before Jesus ascended into heaven, the last thing he promised was power that the Holy Ghost is bringing, not going to heaven. Why should you be in a hurry to go to heaven when you've not carried out your assignment? You are a lazy Christian. Am I communicating? Don't be a lazy Christian. Take up kingdom responsibility. Then the master will come. Let him meet you actively on duty. Let Jesus meet you on your duty post. Am I communicating? Let Jesus meet you where? On your duty post. Kingdom dominion and takeover strategies. Kingdom what? He said we should occupy, we should dominate till he comes. What are the kingdom dominion? I'll start this today. We'll finish next week. Kingdom dominion and take over what? And take over strategies. Take over strategies. When you understand this, it will be easy for you to occupy till Jesus comes. Number one, a deep love for God, the love of God. You must have a deep love for God. You must love God and be passionate about his kingdom agenda than everything else. A deep-seated love for God. You must love God more than you love yourself. You must love God more than you love the things of this world. You must love God more than you love money. You must love God above all else. He said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Love God wholeheartedly with everything within you. You know, we are in the end times. We are in perilous times. And Matthew 24 verse 12, let me show you one of the characteristics of the end time. He said, because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many for God and his kingdom and the things of God, their love will what? Wax cold. Give me an amplified. You see, today there is an attack on people's love for God. Are you getting me? There is an attack. Every day you move around, there are things that are clamoring for your attention, clamoring for your time. But God said you should love him above everything else. Love Jesus more than money. Love Jesus more than your job. Love Jesus more than your course, the course you are studying, more than your profession. You know, sometimes people cry, they pray to God for breakthrough, for miracle. Then by the time God gives them the breakthrough, by the time God gives them the money, give them the car, give them the house, give them the miracle, guess what? They will now start loving that thing more than the God that gave it to them. Let me tell you something. You know, it's a little children, keep yourself from idols. When we say idols, idolatry does not necessarily mean you carry an engraving image and you are bowing to it, even though it's part of it. There are people that worship literal idol. It's wrong. Okay? But when Apostle John was writing, I think it's 1 John 5, towards the end, he said, little children, keep yourself from idols. Now, that idol there is not just a graven image people bow to and worship. Idol means anything you love more than God. That thing has become your idol. For some people, it is money. For some people, it's their boyfriend or girlfriend. Some people, it's their job, their business, their career. Are you getting me? There are people that can leave church service because of contract. As in, they will leave some... They say they are trading crypto, trading forex. They will even leave service. Some will not even show up at all. Are you seeing this? Anything you love more than God is your idol. He said, keep yourself from idol. If you are loving anything more than you, it can even be ministry. Your idol can be ministry. You know, there are people that love ministry more than Jesus. Well, some believers that they don't really love God. They want to use God to achieve their goal. God is not a tool to be used. Are you getting me? They will cry, beg God, do everything. The moment God gives them what they want, bam, they collect it. Putu, 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 they have run away from his presence. They will not show until they need the next thing. You will see them again. Father, let's continue from where we stopped last time. Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me more than this? Don't love the gifts more than the giver. Never love the gifts that God gives you more than he himself, the giver. The gift and the giver, which one is more important? Love him. Have a relationship with him. Some people, they love football more than they love God. They may not say with their mouth, but their action proves it. If it's a lie, let their club match clash with service or church service time or program time or prayer meeting time, they will not come. They will sit down and watch the match. By that action, you are telling us you love football, or you love that movie, you love that episode, that series that is show. I must not miss. You know, this I catch some people. I'm hitting target. You know, they will forgo the things of God for that thing. Is that not a telltale sign? Some people walk, even Sunday they go to work. Service time, then, I'm not saying you cannot do your business after service, but from morning till evening, they will not go to church. Because they say they want to make money. A whole week, you cannot give God how many hours of your time. And you say you love God. You are an hypocrite. You love money more than Jesus. You love business more than Jesus. Am I communicating? Say with me, I choose to love Jesus above all else, above everything else. All that I am, all that I have is for the Lord and for His kingdom. Praise God. You must love God. A lot of people compromise, believers, because they don't really love the Lord. They compromise. Look, small thing, you have compromised your faith. Small thing. Your boss say, if you don't sleep with me, I will not give you the job. Or I will sack you, rather. Or you are looking for a job, you are desperate. Say, well, you know, in this life, you have to use what you have to get what you want. I say, you are a fine woman, you are a fine girl. You know what I'm talking about. Don't be naive. Don't be naive. Forget this, your pali. Forget your application letter, your qualification. This is the most important one now. Me and you will just play a bit. They now give you card. Meet me in this hotel. So, that's my phone number. If you are really interested in getting this job, you know what to do. And you see, the lady, Christian, she will compromise because she needs a job. That means you love job more than Jesus. You go, somebody, boss will sleep with her because of job. Some secretary, they have become like side chick for their boss. He's carrying her like an apron spring anywhere he's going. Even some married women, they tell their hair, I have to travel with my boss for official assignment. And they are sleeping together. He's sleeping with the boss. She's sleeping with the boss. Do you love Jesus more than this? See, if you meet a true believer, they will not compromise their conviction. To hell with your job. We need believers like that. Are you getting me? Your boss is disturbing you every day, every time, making advancement, threatening you. See, type your resignation letter and come and meet him and tell him that, Oga, you see, I'm a married woman. I'm a child of God. I cannot do what you are asking for. And if because of this, my rejection of your proposal to sleep with me, you are going to fire me from this job, let it be. After all, here is my resignation letter. Before he fire you, fire him. Fire him. Fire him. To hell with your job. Am I communicating? God can take care of you. Be like those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told Nebuchadnezzar that our God is able to deliver us. We will not bow to this your idol. Even if he does not deliver us. Hey, these are lovers of Jesus. They are genuine lovers. They will not compromise their conviction. Not even when they were threatened by the fiery furnace that was heated seven times hotter. Seven is the number of perfection. The thing was so hot that the two people that bound them and threw them into the fire, the Bible said the heat from the flame slew them and killed them. If the people that were outside were killed, that came to throw them, how much more those in the inside? Wouldn't the fire turn them into suya? But instead, they were doing high five inside, doing praise and worship. Jesus was there. There was a fourth man. The Bible said there was no smell of fire, no smell of smoke, not a single air was seen. Why? Because they took their stand. They were lovers of Jesus. I like the way Jerry Saville put it. If you don't bow, you will not burn. If you don't bow to pressure, if you don't bow to compromise, if you don't bow to those idols, if you don't bow to sin and Satan, you will not burn. Am I communicating? Jesus showed up for them. Do you know, throughout the whole Bible, all the deliverance that happened in the Old Testament, especially, all the deliverance were by the hand of an angel. God often sent angel of deliverance to deliver people. But when it came to the case of the three Hebrew boys, God did not send angel. Jesus himself showed up in the fire. Why? Because of the temperature of their love for God. The temperature of their love for God was greater than the heat of the fiery furnace. Can you shout amen? Amen. When the temperature of your love is hotter than the compromise that is around you, than the sin, I'm telling you, you will not bow. He said, this end time. Go back to that Matthew 24, verse 12 again. It says, because iniquity shall abound. You know, the world is inventing new ways to sin against God these days. It says, Amplified. Give me an Amplified. Watch this. It said, the love of many shall wax cold. You must protect your love for God this end time. I'm telling you. The love of the great body of people will grow cold because of multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. Multiplied lawlessness this end time. Next, give me NLT, New Living Translation. Look at how NLT put it. It says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Is this not what is happening today? What is the cure? Very high temperature of love for God. Am I communicating? You know, there is God's love for us. Then there is our love for God. You know, we need to be balanced. Some people only teach on the love that God has for us, which is great, which is the beginning point. But what of our own corresponding action by loving him back? You know, Apostle John said, we love him because he first loved us. So you must know and believe the love that God has for you. That's the starting point. Very important. Receive of that love. Be conscious of it. Okay, walk in it. But don't stop there. You too, you must reciprocate by loving him back. Are you getting me? So our love for him is a response, is a corresponding response of his love for us. Your Christianity is fake if we cannot see your love for God. Are you listening? We love him because he first loved. The reason why you will not sin is because you love Jesus. Do you know the fear of God that makes people to depart from evil? Is it by the fear of the Lord people depart from sin? That fear of God is a manifestation of God's love. It's a manifestation of the love of God. If you love God, you will have reverential fear for him. You cannot take over your world without a deep-seated love for God. Because listen, sin is in the world, right? Iniquity is in the world. Those things, they are there. The only way you can overcome them is when you have a very deep love for God. Your heart, you are madly in love with God. Such that the love of God inside you drowns all the sin outside the world. Are you getting me? Because why am I saying this? The moment you start compromising in sin, it will be difficult to take over the world because you are doing the same thing they are doing. For instance, God sends you to the mountain of politics and governance. And now, look at what they do there. Corruption. Bribery. Abi? That's their way, right? All manner of things that they do there. Now imagine you enter there and you now conform to the system. You are corrupt like them. You bribe and do all those things they do. So how can you take over? Talk to me. How can you take over? You can't take over. You've already compromised. You can't take over a system if you are a victim of the same problem bedeviling that system. When you come under those controlling influence, you can't take over the system. For you to take over the system, you must first break free. Are you getting me? You must first break free from the corrupting influence of sin that has decayed the system. You must live above it. And then you shine the light. Tell your neighbor, choose to be different. In 1 John chapter 2, I think verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Tell your neighbor, don't love this world. Don't love the things that are in the world. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Next verse. Verse 16. Shalabako sata. He said, for all that is in the world, what are those things? Number one, lust of the flesh. Number two, lust of the eyes. Number three, pride of life. He says, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. Verse 17. He says, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God will abide forever. Tell your neighbor, don't love this world. Neither the things in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. How do you conquer this? All this. How do you conquer this? It's a deep-seated love for God. The Bible says love is stronger than death. Love is like fire. Let the fire of God's love burn in your heart. Be passionately in love with Jesus. Am I communicating? You know, there are some Christians that are in their workplace. People don't even know that they are Christians. In fact, their character, their lifestyle, everything does not show anything Christian. They lie, they cheat, they do all the wrong things that unbelievers do, so that there is no difference. And then tomorrow you carry big Bible. You say you want to preach to them. Will they hear? Will they listen? Why? Because your behavior have preached a different gospel. Am I communicating? The love of God. This is the number one kingdom takeover strategy. Look at Daniel. Daniel loved God. How come Daniel was able to take over Babylon, the then world power? It was his love for God. That was the beginning point. He so loved God that not even the king's law that banned prayer for 30 days. His enemies discovered, they were looking for how to stop Daniel. Then they went and consulted their oracle. And the oracle told them it is his prayer life that is the secret. His intimacy with God. He said if you can stop his prayer life, stop him from fellowshipping with God, you will weaken him. Then his enemies conspired and then influenced the king to sign a bill into law that for the next 30 days, that nobody should pray to any god except the king and his god. Are you seeing this? It was Daniel that they were targeting. The king did not know, even though he loved Daniel. They made him sign, and the law of the Medes and Persians is an irreversible law. That means even if the son of the king is guilty, that son will die. It's an irreversible law. When Daniel heard that the decree has been signed, the Bible says he opened his window towards Jerusalem. He knelt down and prayed. How many times? 3 times. As he has always done. What will make a man to do that? Somebody say the love of God. When you love God, you will love his presence. When you love God, you will love prayer. When you love God, you will love his word. When you love God, you will love the house of God. When you love God, you will love his kingdom. Are you getting me? Yes, nothing. Daniel did not allow anything to affect his fellowship with God. No wonder he took over Babylon. Even though he was unjustly punished, the king felt sorry, but he couldn't do anything about it. They threw him into the lion's den, but an angel was already there. Because you cannot kill lovers of Jesus. What the devil, the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. At the end of the day, all his enemies and conspirators were thrown into the den of lions. The Jesus, I love you more than life itself. I believe God for a mighty army of passionate Jesus lovers. They love Jesus more than results. They love Jesus more than miracle and breakthrough. Listen, some people think God exists to answer their prayer. Some people, results are good. They are a consolation to our Christian faith. But we don't love God because of results. Become like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Talk like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That, O king, let it be known to you that we will not bow to this your graven image. Our God is able to deliver us. Even though he does not deliver us, we will still not bow. You know, there are some Christians, they are funny. They say, God, if you don't answer me, I go do something. Oh. I go visit native doctor. Oh. They are threatening God. When they burn you, do you know who God is? He's the Ancient of Days. God, if you don't give me this breakthrough, I'll commit suicide. Oh. God, if you don't give me a husband, I'll go agree to this allergy. Oh. Even if that to be third wife or fourth wife, I don't care. Make I just marry. I've been praying to you. You have refused to answer me. Give me husband now. I will go marry as fourth wife. Oh. I will change my name to Aisha. Aji Aisha. Do you love Jesus? See, you need to come to a point that you love Jesus more than results. Is it Jesus? Even if you answer my prayer or not, I love you. It's not you answering my prayer that makes you God. You are God before I started praying. You are God after I finished praying. You are God whether you answer my prayer or not. I love you. Are you getting me? Let your love for Jesus be independent of results. Results or no results, we are what? Die-hard lovers of Jesus. Some people have renounced Jesus because of just common threat. They were threatened and they renounced Jesus. Have you watched those videos? Have you read about the persecution of the church? How so many believers, by those wicked Roman emperors, that they beheaded some of them. They used them for sport. They released wild animals. They threatened them to renounce their faith. They refused. Their love for Jesus was stronger than death. Their love for Jesus. They will not renounce Jesus. You see some of them singing hymns while they are cutting off their head. Then sing my soul. You understand? They happily, they would rather die than to renounce Jesus. That's to show you their height, the height of their love and their conviction, the strength of their conviction. Some people have renounced Jesus because of money. The people of the other faith offered them money. They changed to Islam. They denied Jesus. They renounced him because of money. Do you love Jesus more than money? This is the number one key. This is the number one key. Number two, consecration. And the two are related. Because if you truly love Jesus, you will live a consecrated life. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Daniel is a very good case study of kingdom takeover strategies. Praise God. It says, but Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not what? Defy himself with what? With his own portion of the king's meat. He says, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of eunuch that he might not defile himself. Consecration. You cannot take over a system that you are defiled by. Consecration. What is consecration? Consecration simply means separation from sin. Okay, let me put it this way. Consecration is defined as separation from the contaminating influence of sin, Satan, and the world. Consecration simply means separation from the contaminating influence of sin, of Satan, and the world system. And then consecration also means separation unto God. So it's a twofold separation. Number one, you are separated away from the contaminating influence of sin, Satan, and the world system, the Babylonian system. Number two, you are separated unto God and his purpose, kingdom agenda, kingdom purpose. Praise God. You refuse to defile yourself by the sin that is in the world, by the contaminating influence of this world and sponsored by Satan. He said Daniel proposed in his heart. Among the children of Babylonian captivity, Daniel proposed in his heart. He made up his mind. You must make up your mind to stay pure. You must make up your mind to live a sanctified life. Am I communicating? You purge yourself. You purify yourself from every form of contamination. You can't take over a system that you are polluted by, that you are defiled by, because you have become like one of them. The moment you start doing what they are doing, you have become a slave to the system. Are you getting me? You become a slave to the system. Once you start doing the rubbish they are doing, you have been entrapped by the system. You need to break out. Praise God. He made up his mind. He will not define himself by the portion of the king's meat. Now, what is it about the king's meat and the king's wine that is making Daniel not to eat or to drink? Why? I will tell you. The king's food, that's his meat and drink, they normally sacrifice it. They dedicate it to the king's idol. Are you seeing this? Before they give everybody. But Daniel has already pledged his allegiance to Jehovah, the true God. And he will not partake of any meat or drink that has been dedicated to idol. Are you getting me? The king's meat and wine is already contaminated. So Daniel made up his mind that he's not going to eat it. No wonder. Because he chose to be different, God took him, promoted him to the position of influence and greatness, such that for four consecutive administrations, Daniel maintained perpetual relevance. Am I communicating? Choose to keep yourself pure. When we say holiness, it's not only deeper life doctrine, it's a Bible doctrine. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which what? No man shall see the Lord. Make that decision that Joseph made. Mrs. Potiphar, let's say her name is Josephine, for instance. Is there Josephine here? Let me not go and use somebody's name that is here. Okay, let me just use Mrs. Potiphar. Mrs. Potiphar, a very promiscuous woman, she saw Joseph, fine boy, and very hardworking. Now, she decided that she must sleep with this houseboy. And Oga was not around. Potiphar went on a journey. He's not around, on assignment. She now kept talking to him day by day. Sleep with me. Joseph refused. Then she now waited one day when all the servants of the house have gone on their various assignments, and then her husband was not around. She targeted Joseph. He went about his normal duty in the household. Then she grabbed him. He said, "Today you must sleep with me." For where? She wanted to rape him.
You know, normally they say now men they rape women. This one, it was Mrs. Potiphar that wanted to rape him. She offered herself free of charge. Say, see shape. She did catwalk for him. Say, don't you like what you are seeing? Your destiny. See, anytime you are tempted to sin, just think about your destiny. Think about your future. Sin will make your destiny to sink. Sin will sink your destiny. Sin will make your destiny to stink. Think of your future. Don't be like Samson, who had his hair cut on the laps of Delilah. And you know how he ended. Praise God. Magabalakata. Is this Koboko message? I'm showing you how to take over. Kingdom way. Joseph refused to sleep with Potiphar's wife. He ran away because the scriptures say, flee what? Fornication. He was obeying scriptures. Don't stand there reasoning. Should I do? Should I not do? Should I do? Mm-mm. He didn't say even you should stand there. Don't stand there praying in tongues. What is the scriptural solution to sexual temptation? Follow the flee formula. Obey scriptures. That was what Joseph did. You are a lady. You went to see your boyfriend. Eh? From body chemistry. Now biology is calling for you. Understand? You want to move to biology? You know, it's now making moves. You know that you people will soon sin against God. What are you still doing there? Flee. Flee. Don't worry about your things. Joseph so fled that he left the coat of his cloth with her, even though she used it as false evidence against him. Oga came back. She was faking cry. Say, you brought this Hebrew boy to mock us. See how he wanted to rape me. Oga Potiphar looked. The Bible said, Potiphar said, okay, put him in dungeon, prison. Not just anyhow kind of prison, the kind of prison that the king's butler and baker normally, you know, they are special prison, not general prison. When Obasanjo was in prison, you think it's the regular prison they put him? Those kind of special prison. They even bring newspaper for themselves to read, serve them tea. But there is another type of prison that they are power tower. So Mr. Potiphar, do you know, should I shock you? Mr. Potiphar knew his wife was lying. According to Josephus, a Bible historian, Josephus was explaining that Mr. Potiphar is aware of his wife's promiscuous lifestyle. He knew that Joseph cannot do such a thing. But however, he wanted to please his wife. So that was why he said, okay, put him for special prison. But he knew that Joseph would never do such a thing. Are you listening? Some people have sold their destiny on the bed of fornication. Leave fornication alone. Leave sexual sin alone. That boyfriend that is always demanding sex, break out from that relationship now. Say, if you don't agree, I will not marry you. Get out, nonsense. God will give you a better man than him. Who told you sex is a proof of love? Say, if you truly love me, allow me to. How will I know your bedmatics skills? How will I know your bedmatic skill if we never do the do? Don't marry a man that cannot control his below the belt faculty. Because even when you marry him, he will become an adulterer later. Because fornication is junior brother of his senior brother, adultery. It's the same problem. Are you listening? Consecration. Keep yourself pure.
Say with me, I choose to sanctify myself, to consecrate myself to God and the cause of His kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I receive grace. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. What does it say? It says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved unto what? Blameless. Unto what? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you shout amen? So, cleanse yourself from every filthiness of the flesh and filthiness of the spirit. Glory to God. Give me 2 Timothy 2:17. You want to be a vessel mightily that God will use mightily? Jump to 19. Verse 19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, 2 Timothy 2:19, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, if you are named with the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Praise God. Depart from iniquity. Next verse. But in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of the earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. Verse 21. He said, if any man therefore purge himself from this, purge yourself from iniquity, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Glory to God. Sanctified and meet for the master's use. Prepared unto every good work. If you want God to use you to accomplish special kingdom assignment, then what? You must purge yourself. Next verse, 22. He said, flee also youthful lust. Flee. Just like Joseph fled. Samson did not flee. And how did he end? Joseph fled and ended up taking over Egypt. He became the prime minister of the then world power. Do you know that if he had given in to that sexual sin with Mrs. Potiphar, mind you, she told him that nobody will know. It's just me and you. It's between two of us. Our little secret. Let's just do it. Now, nobody will have seen it except the two of them. But God will see it in heaven. And it will cut short his destiny. At best, Joseph will have ended up, if he had slept with Potiphar's wife, he would have ended up as chief with cap and uniform. That's it. He wouldn't have ascended the throne. He wouldn't have become prime minister. Look at where God is taking him, prime minister. Look at what Satan wants to do to stop him. How? Through sexual sin. Sin will cost you. It will cost you your destiny. Many people's journey have been truncated because of sin. Leave immorality alone for where? Flee also youthful lust. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity. Remember, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in what? Righteousness. In what? Peace. In what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Follow after righteousness. Follow faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Purity. The power of purity. Matthew 5:8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead, according to the spirit of holiness. Are you listening? Romans 12 verse 1. Are you learning something? Are you still here? Glory. I'm just excited just preaching this. I'm so excited. This is a very serious matter. Even some health workers, some doctors and nurses, they have collected bribe from people that are desperate to have children, and they have exchanged people's children without the parents knowing. These things happen, oh. Somebody is looking for a male child. They are desperate looking for a male child. And then she went and delivered female. And her husband has warned her, as you are going to born, if na boy, come back. If no be boy, just go back to your father's house. She has now bribed the doctor, bribed the nurse. Then another woman that also came, delivered boy, they just switched the babies. Carried the male child of somebody else and then gave this woman, looking for a male child because of money. Then you grow up raising another person's child, you don't know that it's not your child because some corrupt doctor and nurses collected money. They gave people, you say you're an engineer, thank God we are not raising those kind of engineer. They gave you contract, civil engineer, the one that make road is civil, ba? Okay, to make road, the project, the contract, they gave you 20 billion naira to make a major road. You carry the money, you slash it with cutlass into 10 million. You slash it again, piao, 5 million. You slash it the third time, 2.5 million. So out of that 20 million is only 2.5 million that you use to buy inferior materials. Everything inferior to make the road. You pocketed the remaining how much? 20 million minus 2.5, 17.5 million. You have built your own house, you bought a Range Rover Sport, you are now a big boy now. You understand? Buy the Range Rover Sport. The plate number is IDB. You know the meaning? I don't blow. Now moving around town with stolen money, dishonest money. Now you made the road. They even commissioned it, governor commissioned it and everything. After 3 months, pothole everywhere. Accident. See, the blood of those people dying is on your neck. You are an engineer. They gave you money to build house. You now, this is painful. Do you know a lot of building collapse happening, killing people, destroying property? It's because some people didn't do their work well. The money they gave them, they went and bought inferior material, substandard things. And now, people are dying because of you. Like somebody said, are we going to the same heaven? Glory to God. Be clean. Make clean money, not unclean money. You know, there is unclean money, there is clean money. That's why we teach on kingdom finance. Don't do like the people. All these dubious, wuru. Bribery, corruption here and there. They call it all manner of names. What are the names that Nigerians are now calling bribe now? You know, Egunje. Which one again? Grease my palm. You said, help me now. Keep back. Something for the boys. Give me more now. Praise God. Don't be like that. He says, I beseech you, brethren, Romans 12:1. He said, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your body is not for fornication, it's not for adultery, it's not for lying, cheating, all of that. No. There are Christians that they tell lies. What? When they tell you good money, you have to check time whether it is really money. The Christians are lying. Child, don't become like that. Purge yourself of these sins. Pride, arrogance, all of that, immorality. He said, present your body. as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. So kingdom service begins with you presenting your body a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will prove the will of God. You will prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into their mold. Don't get contaminated by the sin of this world, by the filthiness in this world. Separate yourself from those things. Separate yourself unto God. Am I communicating? You see, there is a Babylonian system. There is the influence of the Babylonian system of this world that is contaminating so many. So many people have eaten the king's meat. They have drank his wine that is already contaminated and polluted. So many believers. What Daniel refused, believers have taken it. So how can you take over Babylon? How can you take over? How can you rule and reign? How can you dominate the system when you are a frontline partaker of their what? Contaminated what? Meat and drink. It doesn't work that way. Choose to be different. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Tell your neighbor, come out from among them and be ye separate. Cleanse yourself by the word of God. NLT, New Living Translation. How does he put it? New Living Translation. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person. How? How will God transform you? By changing the way you think. How? He will use his word to renovate your mind. His word. This is how you acquire kingdom mindset, kingdom value system, kingdom ideology. Am I communicating? Meditate on the word. Then you will learn to know God's will for yourself, for you, which is good and what? Perfect. Hallelujah. Praise God. I say praise God. Because there is a Babylonian system that is in total rebellion to God. Babylonian system, total rebellion. They don't want to hear anything God. Look at what is happening today. Some places in the Western world, some schools, they are now teaching that God did not create man as male and female. Can you imagine? They are now teaching that you can choose to be any gender. Eh? You can choose to be anyone. That's, if you are a male and you are tired of being a male, you can go and do surgery and take drugs and transform into female, transgender, and vice versa. Madness. Say, don't be conformed to this world system. Don't be conformed to this world system. Am I communicating? We are in the perilous time. Give me 2 Timothy 3, from verse 1. 2 Timothy 3. Look at what Paul wrote to Timothy. Look at what Paul wrote to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. He said, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Okay, next verse. He said, for men shall be what? Lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, next verse, without natural affection, truth breaker, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, verse 4, it says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Can you see, is it not happening in our day? People like pleasure more than God. They like football, movie, Telemundo, Z-World, name it. They love pleasure more than God. Praise God. Lovers of pleasure more than God. Next verse. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Tell your neighbor, turn away from such. Don't just turn away. You too, ensure you are not one of such.
ensure you are not part of such. Praise God. Okay, give me from verse 1 in New Living Translation, NLT. Look at how NLT puts it. Say, because iniquity shall abound in the last days, the love of many shall wax cold. He said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. Next verse. For people will love only themselves. You see this? People will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents. You know, research shows that children are becoming increasingly stubborn and rebellious against parents. So parenting now is much more difficult these days compared to before. You tell a child, don't have sex. You say, mommy, why? Am I not a man? You see? Parents is talking to children, advising them, showing them the right path. The child is already angry. So, mommy, why are you talking to me as if I'm a baby? Don't you know I am 18? I'm now 19. Don't talk to me like that, too. Daddy, don't talk to me like that. I will call police on you. Thank God we are not in the Western world. You can do that in America. You try for Nigeria. You go collect. Go collect slap. Praise God. You know, in the Western world, they are afraid to correct children. Now, parenting is serious wahala. Small thing, the child have called police. My dad wants to kill me. Please take. You know, they now come and arrest the father. Well, you know, they have called social workers. So children are now left to themselves. So he carry gun to high school. Hello, y'all. You talk to me like that. Power, power, power. Fuck you, man. You see? Madness. They took away Bible out of school. What replaced it? Immorality. Abortion. Crime rate went up. Gangsterism. Drugs. Hard drug. They kick God out of the system. They even remove the Lord's Prayer. Say, oh, all these yeah, Christians, are they the only religion? Remove it. They kick God out of the system. So Satan is now occupying very well. He said, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Next verse. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. Next verse. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Next verse. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from such people. Let me tell you about, stay away from people like that. The love of God and the decision to live a consecrated life, it will bail you out of the madness that is happening on a global scale right now. The Babylonian system. Am I communicating? If you study the earthly empires, the world powers, those earthly kingdoms that have ruled this world, Babylon, of all of them, Babylon is the richest. Babylon is known for its wealth and splendor. Am I communicating? That even the book of Revelation talked about Babylon. Am I communicating? And that's what Satan is using to enslave people. It's not bad to have money. It's not bad to be rich. But everything is bad when money has you.
It is the will of God for you to have money, but it is Satan's will for money to have you. What does it mean for money to have you? That means money is now your master. You are a lover of money. Money is controlling you. Money tells you what to do and what not to do. Money tells you when to go to church and not when to go to church. You are now, instead of being a master over money, you have become a slave. Mammon is now controlling you. Don't be greedy. Don't be covetous. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. Glory to God. The Bible said the love of money is the root of evil. It didn't say money is the root of evil. It said the love of it. Money on its own is not bad. Money is amoral. Money is amoral. Money takes after the character of the person in possession of it. Am I communicating? So money in the hand of a good man will do good things. Money like kingdom advancement. Are you getting me? Giving towards God and the things of God, helping the poor and needy, the orphans, the widow, blessing, suffering humanity. Money in the hand of a good person will do good things. Money in the hand of an evil person will do evil things. Boko Haram, is it not money they are being sponsored with? The Hamas terrorists, all the terrorism in the world, is it not being funded? It's money that is being used. But look at the catastrophic, destructive effect the money is being used for. Are you getting my point? So we now see people that go into Yahoo Plus, Yahoo Pro Max, because of money. Ritualists, cultists, do human sacrifice, kill their loved ones just to make money. Praise God. There is a right way to make money in the kingdom, then there is a wrong way. That's why we teach people. Praise God. Give me this in Message translation from verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 from verse 1. Hallelujah. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. Next verse. It says, as the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money hungry, self-promoting. There is so much marketing of the flesh these days. You know, self-promotion everywhere. Self-promoting, stock up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse. Next verse. Dog eat dog. Unbending. And they are already doing that on TikTok, everywhere. Slanderous, impulsively wild, savage, cynical. Verse 4. Treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust. The pornography industry today is a multi-billion dollar industry, selling lust to people everywhere, scattering marriages, scattering people's life and destiny, destroying homes, destroying youths, destroying relationships. And some people are smiling, collecting dollars from those that are watching. Addicted to lust. And look at that last part. Very troublesome. Please help me. 1, 2, 3, go. Allergic to God. Hey! Do you know the meaning of allergy? He said this end time, people will be allergic to God. The God that created them, the God that gave them life. This air they are breathing in their nose. The God that gave them the air, if God should withdraw his oxygen, they are dead. That same God, he said they will be allergic to God this end time. Praise God. You see that the world needs help, right? And we are the saviors from Zion. And that's why I say we are not survivors, we are saviors. We are not the needy ones, we are the needed ones. Praise God. Rise to your feet. We'll continue from here next week. Kingdom takeover strategy. You see, what I shared with you today is the very necessary foundation that is needed if we must take over the systems of this world, if we must dominate. kingdom dominion and takeover strategy. It begins with a deep love for God, passionate love, red hot love, kalabasata, and then the decision to live a life of consecration. Separate yourself, present your body, purge yourself from the contaminating influence of the Babylonian system, of this world and everything. Choose to be pure. You can't take over a system that you are already a slave to. Why? Because you have ate of the king's meat and drank of his wine that is already polluted and contaminated. You know, most of the time, look up. When God sends you into any of those mountains of influence or any of this system, this is usually Satan's strategy. He will want you to be victimized by the problems in that system. And he's the one responsible for the problems there. The things that he's using to bring others down, he will want you to be a victim of it. But you must make up your mind like Daniel. You choose not to what? Defile yourself. You choose not to defile yourself. Kabura bakasaya. Can you go ahead? Say, Father, I receive grace. Oh, Matthew 24 verse 12. He said, because iniquity shall abound, he said, the love of many shall wax cold. I want you to lift up your voice. Father, help me to love you more. Help me to love you more. I receive grace. Let the love of Christ be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5 verse 5. Father, let your love be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Grace to love you more than this. Can you lift up your voice? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Father, I receive grace to love you like never before, to love you more. Mande pora sabata. Are you praying? Lift up your voice. Kelibora pakata. My love for you will not wax cold. My love for you will not wax cold. The iniquity, the sin that will be rampant, that is rampant this end time, will not drown my love for you. Will not drown my love for you. Likopotese beletia. Oh yes, the temperature of my love will keep rising. Zebilata kapatoni kenropote ragabata brande kepo. Grace to live for you. Grace, libarose pilatai, to live a life of righteousness and holiness. I choose to be like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who will not bow to any threat. They will not bow. Shabalataya. I refuse to compromise my faith. I refuse, kapalida kapata, to be contaminated by this world's Babylonian system. I choose to live for God. Zebila kondo brakatai. I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. Likombalasidi prende kepo, rande kepo, zabalatina, ronde kepo rakapalatai. Balakatosa branda kapatai, likoboronde prekete. We need people that will speak like Esther. If I perish, I perish. I'm going to see the king. Men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that will declare, we will not bow. We will not bow. Likobarakata. Brande kebo. He said, our God is able to deliver us. Even though he does not deliver us, we will still not bow. Result or no result, we choose to serve God. We choose to love God. We love you, Jesus, beyond results. We love you, Jesus, beyond breakthroughs. We love you beyond miracles. We love you beyond what you give. Kalabonde kebarakatai. A heart of love. Let the love of God be shed abroad afresh in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Manda pala tuzabalatai. Manda porasi balatia. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of love. Is the spirit of love. The spirit of the living God. Come and shed abroad the love of God in my heart. La baronde ke brekete. Love, grace to love God and to love his people. Grace to love God and to love people. Masha palatia. Grace to walk in love. Grace for consecration. Malachi 3 from verse 2. He said, the messenger of the covenant. Ilabonde kebalatia. He said, it shall be latiso poletia. Who shall abide the day of the Lord's coming? He said, it's like the refiner's fire. Malachi 3, chapter 3, verse 2. Malachi 3, verse 2. La pate lefeketoli kabalatia runde kepalatai. Magabagadagabrakatai. He says he's like a refiner's fire. He's like fuller's soap. He shall purify the sons of Levi. Father, purify me by your fire. Purify me by your fire. Purify my heart. Purge me. He says, if any man purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. The type that God will use this end time. Malachi 3:2. For who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? He's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Say, Father, purge me, refine me by the refiner's fire. Wash me clean, cleanse me of every filth, of every sin. Liko balataya. He said, he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi. He shall purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Father, purify me as silver is purified. Purge me that I may be pure. Kalatuza balatia. Jesus says, sanctify them by thy word. Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Grace to live a sanctified life. Grace to live a purified life. Grace to live in righteousness, in holiness unto the Lord. It's like the refiner's fire. Oh, say, Father, let this refiner's fire, let your refiner's fire, let it refine me, let it purify me, let it purge me. Refine me as gold is tried in the fire, is refined in the fire. Libero sekida, cleanse me of every filthiness, of every sin, everything that defies, everything that contaminates. I break free from the contaminating influence of this world. I break free. I choose to be separated from the contaminating influence of the Babylonian system, the contaminating influence of sin and Satan, a contaminating influence. Ligo barakatai. I choose to be separated unto God for sacred use, for his kingdom purpose, kingdom assignment. I choose to be separated. Oh yes, unto God's cause, unto his kingdom cause. I receive grace to live a life of righteousness and holiness, to bear the fruit of righteousness. La baronde ke preskotoska. Grace to live for God. Grace to live above sin. For the Bible says, sin shall have no dominion over you. You are not under the law, you are under grace. Grace is greater than sin. The grace of God is greater than sin. The grace of God is more powerful than sin. The grace of God has empowered us to live above sin. We are not a slave to sin. We are not under the government of the law. We are not under the government of sin. We are under the government of grace. We are not under the law. We are under grace. The grace of God is a divine empowerment to live above sin. We choose to live a consecrated life. Sin has no dominion over us. In Christ, we have dominion over sin. We have dominion. Jesus has given us his authority. He has given us all of his power. He has given us his dominion. Dominion over sin. Dominion over Satan. We choose to live a life of dominion. Christianity is a life of dominion. We choose to live a life of dominion over sin, over Satan, over sickness, over disease, dominion over death, dominion over death and destruction, dominion over money, dominion over mammon, dominion over poverty and lack, dominion over nature. We walk in total, absolute dominion. In the name of Jesus, all heads bow, all eyes close. Thank you, Father. If you are in this place or you are following, listening to me online, and as this message was going on, the Spirit of God was talking to you that you need to surrender to Jesus. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. You need to dedicate your life to him. Or perhaps you did that before, but you know that you went back to the world. You know that you started living a life of sin. You need to rededicate your life to Jesus. You need to surrender to his lordship. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are right now. Lift up your right hand. As I'm talking, God is talking to people. Even during the message, God was talking to some people. I'm giving you this opportunity without any shame. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me, if you are ashamed of me on earth, if you are ashamed of answering this call, he said, on that last day, me too, I will be ashamed of you. On the day of judgment, I want you, don't listen to any voice that is shaming you, telling you not to come out. Don't listen. That's the devil. Defy that devil. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. And I want you to carry your Bible, carry whatever you came here with, and meet me in front. I'm going to pray for you. Oh yes, oh yes. Come to Jesus. Come and surrender your life to Jesus. I'm waiting for you now. I'm waiting. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. I'm waiting for you now. Come and meet Jesus in front. You see, Jesus died for you openly on the cross between two criminals. He was not ashamed to die for our sin. Why should you be ashamed to make a decision for him? I want you to meet this brother in front right now. Right now, we are going to pray. I'm going to pray for you, including those following online. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you died for my sin, and on the third day, you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth from today that you are my Lord, you are my Savior. Thank you for saving me. I receive eternal life into my spirit, in Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glowy generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.